Well,
happy
birthday,
you
scumbag.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. What are you? What are you? 36?
37.
Oh, dear.
37.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, catching you.
You really? All right?
We ain't catching Rico, but I'm catching you, Mike.
No.
I thought you were right there.
Really?
We're getting there.
That's a hard 37.
37, yeah. It's been a rough 37, boys.
Jesus.
A rough 37.
Country miles. Well, welcome in for your birthday fiesta. So we've asked a question. I want to know where you're at with it.
All right.
Which team are we going to learn the most about this week? Between Lions, Michigan, and Michigan State.
Oh, I think the Lions. Yeah, I think we know. Well, you know, I think we have a better feeling of what Michigan and Michigan State are. Michigan State, start with them. Looks like a team that, you know, could surprise some people and maybe play a little bit better. But probably, it's to me, still looks like maybe a 7-win team. Michigan, I feel like I know what they are. I feel like, you know, they're going to be lucky to get to 8.
Oh, you've been negative since day one.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you lose. And look, it's you lose that many starters. You lose that many key players. You don't have impact players at key positions, quarterback, offensive line. The defense certainly hasn't been, you know, anywhere as good enough as we hoped they were going to be. I think we know what they are. I think we know that they're probably, if they're lucky, an 8-win team as well. I'm more interested in finding out what the Lions are. I know the stats and, you know, last 30 games or whatever it is, they haven't lost back-to-back games. Well, that's in the past. Like, that doesn't translate year to year. You know what I mean? You still got to go out there, and I feel like you still got to kind of form an identity on offense, right?
Last week was the damn football.
Yeah, you got to start running it. Last week was, you know, it was, I'm not going to say it was bad, but because you look at the stat sheet and we out-sacked them 5-0, right? We outgained them by more than double. We kept them to 216 yard. You look at that without looking at the scoreboard and you're saying, oh my gosh, it's a blowout. The bottom line is the situation of football was just bad, right? The turnovers, you had 3 2-minute drives, you got 0 points combined. The red zone we know was atrocious. That to me is not something that you can just flip a switch and okay, we're going to focus this week on the red zone, because you do it every single week. So you know, you guarantee Arizona's going to give you a lot of the same looks you saw last week and what you saw against the Rams. And I'm more interested in to see how they're going to respond. They've got a lot of really talented players, we know that, but something's just been off with this offense. The defenses look good, we've talked about that, but something's just not clicking right now. And I think I talked about it Monday. This isn't a knock on the other receivers by any means, but I think Jared Goff personally is missing Josh Reynolds a little bit. I know Lions fans, you know, their last memory of Josh Reynolds was the NFC Championship game with a couple drop passes, but he was a big part of this offense on third down and in the red zone and making plays when you had to have him. I don't think he has that trust really in the number three receiver right now. So
see, it's funny because
that's just going to take time. He had years of reps with Josh Reynolds going back to his Rams days.
See, I didn't think it could be that simple as just there's no Reynolds here. It's like, you know, it can't be that. It's got to be something else. But you think it could just be that simple?
I do. Well, because I think there were so many times last year in a big third down or even a red zone where, you know what, I know the coverage, we're out leveraged, or, you know, maybe it's not the ideal formation for what we want to run, but I've hit this pass so many times to this guy, I know where he's going to be. I'm not saying that they're not doing that right now, but I think that when you have 4, 5, 6 years of trust and chemistry with a certain guy, that's hard to duplicate. And certainly, I think they're going to get there eventually. I just don't think they've been there throughout the first two games.
Then can I ask a question? Just, I'm asking, then why didn't you just pay the damn guy?
I mean,
I'm asking, I mean, if well, you're all you know, in, and if you're right, I don't know that you are, I'm asking,
yeah,
if he's that important, why the hell didn't you just pay the damn guy?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know, and I'm not sitting here saying, you know, Josh Reynolds was some all-pro type guy.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Look, he was the ultimate third down security blanket.
He was the ultimate security blanket for Jared Goff. Maybe not for, you know, be a key piece of you want to build your offense around, but I think that him and Goff had a certain chemistry that you just haven't been able to duplicate yet. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but yet with some of these new guys, Tim Patrick, and we know, you know, Khalif Raymond's been kind of the de facto number three receiver. I don't think they want to put him as a number three receiver. They want to use him more on special teams and have him as a gadget type guy. I don't think they want to be putting Khalif out there for 50 snaps a game. They're going to have to if they can't find anybody else. But that was, you know, Mike,
it works, David. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, that's what all the whispering was going about?
Well, we had a technology issue, and with the picks looming this hour.
And you really needed that drop.
You're here. It's your birthday.
Wait till break.
Get there.
And go back to your question, Mike. That was one of the key concerns, I think, in the offseason, right? How are you going to address the receiver position? Because the rest of the team looked like it really didn't have many holes in it outside of that depth receiver spot. And, you know, they brought in Tim Patrick, who seemed like he was getting acclimated last week, and Allen Robinson, who's been on the practice squad. So they need to speed one of those guys up when it comes to Jameson's kind of the deep guy. Amon-Ra's getting coverage underneath. Laporta still kind of catching his feet a little bit from the training camp injury. You need somebody else in there that can just, you get one-on-one coverage, can take advantage of opportunities, and can build that trust with the quarterback.
TJ, it looks like the Lions have kind of been playing catch-up, where first game, you didn't really see anything with Amon-Ra. It was all J-Mo. Last week, it was okay. It's going to be St. Brown's turn. It almost seems like, where's Laporta? Is this a Laporta-type game where it's going to be his 2024 breakout game?
That's hard to say. I mean, because like the coaches, I don't think he's hurt, but I think that they have a history of, if you miss training camp and you're unavailable in the preseason, we can't just throw you back in there and expect things to just pick off where they were, you know, week 18 of last year. Like, that's not how it works, right? And I think Coach even admitted that, where, you know, he's been banged up a little bit. It's hard, you know, coming out of training camp. How many reps are we going to give him? Do we know what kind of workload he can handle? We put in this big game plan for him, and all of a sudden, 10 plays in, he's out. We got to change everything. You know what I mean? Those are just issues you don't want to be going through on Sunday. But I think maybe the first two games, they needed to see if he could handle the workload that they were giving him. And, you know, nothing hasn't been on the injury report. And also, I think this could be a week where maybe if they were holding something back just because they weren't sure about the availability, where you say, okay, well, he's got two solid games in now. You know, he's given us 75% of the snaps in the first two games. We think he's ready to finally handle the workload and be maybe that lead guy in some of the key situations, the third down and back to that red zone target that he was a big part of last year. So I think he could. I think they're definitely going to try to involve him more. But to be the focal point, it's hard to say because you've got guys like Amon-Ra that needs the ball. You're a better team when he touches the ball 10 times. You're a better team when you're able to take the top off the defense with Jameson Williams. You're a better team when you can get the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs in space. And we all know they're a better team when you can run the ball. So it's hard to say, you know, this is this guy's week to get all the targets in and go dominate.
You're a better team, but when you get in the red zone, you're not. Because all those guys had, you know, great games. You know, Amon-Ra had, you know, his 10 catches last week. You didn't win the game. You scored 16 points.
Yeah.
When you get in the red zone, that's money time for Laporta, and it's like, I guess that's why I expect to see him more, and I haven't seen that in the first two
games. Yeah, the red zone was tough last week, and you know what? Going back and watching the film again, I mean, I know Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell said, we got to run the ball in the red zone, right? No duh. You have to run the ball. Everything tightens up. The safeties are a little bit closer, but in my mind, you can't wait till you get to the red zone to start running the ball. Offensive linemen, running backs, you need to get into a rhythm. You need to understand how the defense is flowing. You need to understand, okay, hey, maybe we're trying to stretch the ball, but it's getting limited. Hey, guys, we're going to start cutting it back when we get down in here. I think 13 of the first 15 plays last week were passing plays, right? So the run game's not just something, hey, we crossed the 20, boom, now we're going to run it. No, you got to get into a rhythm early, especially with this team. That's your identity. So I think there's times where coaches kind of outsmart themselves going into games saying, you know what? Hey, man, this Tampa D-line or their front seven, really hard to run the ball, so we're just going to come out and make it a completion game. You can also lose track of, we've got one of the best offensive lines. We've got one of the best 1-2 punches at running back. Why don't we go try to, we're at home, why do we not go try to establish the line of scrimmage, run the ball early until they show us that they can stop it? But the one fix I think I got that was a constant in the red zone was the first down plays. And I charted them. First down, first and 10, incomplete pass. First and 10, 0-yard run. First and 10, 1-yard reception. And then the next two first and 10s you had, -4-yard run, -4-yard pass. Now you're in second and longs. There's no threat to run the ball. So you're going to get seven guys dropping. We know if you got four guys out on the route, there ain't going to be many holes. And no disrespect to Jared Goff. We've seen him use his wheels a little bit the last couple games. If you don't have a mobile quarterback that can extend plays down in the red zone and find guys open and get guys into the holes once you start getting out of the pocket, like Kyler Murray does, it's really tough to convert in the passing game when you're backed up second and 16. So I think one of the big keys this week in the red zone, first down, you got to be able to pick up half and at least keep the threat of a run on second and third down. They didn't do that enough last week.
What do you I want to ask this the right way so it doesn't sound like I'm being negative. What do you make of Jack Campbell?
I think Jack's still a young player. I think Jack flashes a lot, but I think Jack might get lost a little bit at times.
Yeah, right? Snap count-wise, I mean, he's clearly the third backer.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not. I wanted your take. I go long stretches, and I go, does this guy play for this team?
I think he does. I'm not giving up on Jack Campbell.
I didn't say give up.
No, I still see flashes, and I still am realistic to say this is a young player that just continues to need. He needs to continue just to get reps and understand things. And I think sometimes you can tell for young guys that get lost at times, like they're thinking too much, right? I got to go here. I got to go. Sometimes you just got to settle down, right? Just stay in your spot. Stay in your zone. I saw the one play last week where it was a busted coverage where they scored the touchdown on Chris Godwin. I saw people giving Jack Campbell, you know, hell for that. Let me set it straight. In no world, in any level of football, would you have a linebacker covering deep third, okay? So I would say that was not on Jack Campbell. He was the closest guy to Chris Godwin. That wasn't his responsibility. So maybe that's a play that people are looking at. But
I think what Mike is trying to say is when will we see that first-round selection?
Yeah, I mean –
like, you can't beat Derek Barnes and Anzalone out. I drafted you first. You got to be better than one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that with Anzalone, he's clearly the number one guy at that position.
He never leaves the field, TJ.
He never leaves the field. We don't know what his availability is going to be this weekend. I'm assuming, you know, probably 4 o'clock we'll get the injury report, but probably going to be a questionable type player. If he's out, I think that's where you see Jack Campbell step in and maybe get 60 plays this game against Arizona. But yeah, I think you're right. I'm not going to say that the clock's ticking out on Jack Campbell, but you'd like to see a little bit more consistency.
That was
I do still think he is a very physical presence in the middle. He's definitely a lot better in the run game than he has been in coverage,
yes.
Right? But I think that's probably the hardest step for a lot of young linebackers to take at the NFL level is keeping up with the speed, staying in your zone, being disciplined, not letting the quarterback, not letting his eyes dictate where you want to jump to, but being disciplined. I think it takes a while for some of these guys to really understand the pass coverage and the meshes and the just feeling where your buddy's supposed to be, trusting your teammates. Because I think even on the first drive, Tampa clearly blew an assignment. They had two guys run the same over route early.
Yeah, they were right next to each other.
And I think Jack just kind of, you could tell he's reading the quarterback's eyes and he kind of jumped to his left. If he just feels the presence of the guys to his left, he knows, okay, I got help over there. I can lean a little bit more right. Maybe that's where the big plays start to come from.
All right, we'll get to your phone calls. I want to ask you about U of M. I have a theory on what they can do to, like, not be terrible. I want you to tell me.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Okay. I'm going to offer it.
You got more hope than I do now.
Listen, I just, this is, we'll get to it next.